The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook app.
Use promo code WMVP.
Tune in every Friday for the official Waddle and Sylvie same game parlay on the DraftKings Sportsbook app.
21 years or older, Illinois only. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
Live from State Street and the old National Bank Studio.
This is WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago.
Now, back to more.
Carmen Yurko.
On Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
A good Karma Brands radio station.
All right, a bunch of thank yous here as we wrap up. Thanks to the Four Corners Group and everybody here at Highline. Great time. Kinsey and Wells, great food, great cocktails, and ice cold Miller Lite. You can't beat it.
Top notch.
Thanks to Miller Lite for getting us out and about. Thank you to Sonny and Bailey and Jocelyn, everybody in promotions and marketing. Jake Cantu with us here. And back at the shop, Adam Abdallah and Randy Merkin. Waddle and Sylvia are going to be out with Miller Lite tomorrow to wrap the week, so go see the guys in Lincoln Park. A couple city remotes. You got to love that. They will be at one of our favorite places, Binney's Marcy Street in Lincoln Park. I understand the Connie's Pizza truck is going to be there. I heard Sylvie say that the other day.
We've done some damage there.
Yes, we've done plenty. We'll do a lot of damage at Bourbon and Bacon November 3rd when we're back at Binney's. But go see the guys at Binney's to wrap the week and kick off opening weekend in the NFL tomorrow. And it is time for Crosstalk with the boys, brought to you as always by Club Hawthorne and the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. Gentlemen.
Well done, good kid. Well done.
That was impressive.
That was very good.
I appreciate that.
Very good. The colder they are, the harder they are to shotgun.
Oh, I can imagine.
I would say they might be.
Yeah.
That one was pretty chilly.
Was it?
Yeah, it was actually nice.
That one will sting like your tonsils a little bit.
Stings the nostrils.
Well, I'd say as it hit the back of the throat, it just went hasta bye-bye.
It was great, though. You did a fabulous job.
It was impressive.
I've always found, though, the best way to drink beer fast is if you have the funnel. The funnel and you can actually get the beer bong? The beer bong, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that time we had a good kid, me, you, and Gian Greco?
I remember that.
Stretch. Good times.
Stretch. Get on.
My bachelor party.
That's right. It was Sylvie's bachelor party. 100% correct, too.
You guys were taking batting practice. We were shotgunning beers.
Yeah. We were over at co-eds.
Yeah. We had Stretch.
We were just talking about Zillow and the Stretch.
We were back there at the Stretch. They brought out a couple of beer bongs. One of them was,
one of them was not for kids.
Not for kids and not for men, that's for sure.
Not for kids and not for men, huh? Wow.
You still used it. You seem quite comfortable.
I did not use it, but I did convince a young co-ed to go ahead and take a gander at it, and she did.
By the way, Sylvie was just showing us. I think we're going to put that on social media, just showing us how to work your abs and to get your core strong. He was laying on the studio floor showing me how to get my core strong.
Leg lifts or scissors?
What'd you call it? The dead bug.
The dead bug. My old chiropractor, Dr. Josh, taught me it. Mm. And it's a good way to get the body right, the back right, everything work together. It's a breathing exercise while you strengthen the core.
Mm. A little pelvic action.
Are you thrusting your pelvis?
There's no thrusting of the pelvis.
What you're doing is you're pushing down on the ground, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You pin your ribs to the ground. So there's no like space between the back. You know how you usually could, when you lay on the floor, you could put your hand underneath your back.
There's no bridge. The opposite of the bridge.
Right, because of the curvature of the earth.
Right, but now pin your ribs.
What?
Not because of the earth.
What do you mean? The earth's flat, Yurko. Kyrie told
Yes,
me.
Right.
Yeah. So you look like a dead bug? Is that the point?
Yeah. And Waddle was telling me in the
like
elevator.
Like a beetle upside down.
Right, exactly. We had a good conversation. Waddle was telling me how his back is bothering him.
I
asked him if he's gone to a chiropractor before. And then he was telling me that the sit-ups aren't, like, they hurt his back even more. And I said, look, the sit-ups, there's a lot to a sit-up. And maybe he should go with something like the dead bug. So I illustrated the dead bug.
You showed him the dead bug.
I like it. Strengthen the core, Tommy.
Yeah, I know. I said as we were coming downstairs in the elevator, getting old. Mm. I know you've heard this before. Getting old sucks.
It's hard.
It happens, Tommy.
Oh, boy. I actually sleep with one of these, you know, special pillows between my legs last night because my left hip is so bad. I had such bad left hip pain yesterday. My left foot was numb.
Tommy, can I help you?
Please, give me one of those beers to shotgun.
Your hip flexors are tight, my friend. You need to stretch your hip flexors.
Yeah. Great
you
point
need to
here.
Relieve that lower back pain. I'm telling you, it's called referred pain, brother. I'm giving it to you.
Yeah.
Referred pain.
You
okay?
need a sports the massage where they
I
work
do.
On your hip flexors.
When your head, when you have an ice cream headache, it's not your head that's in pain. It's your pituitary gland that's frozen.
That listen,
it's too cold.
So
okay?
smart.
It's called referred pain. That's
right
what you're
about
getting right there, my friend.
What about the IT
his
bands,
lower back?
Too,
well, you got to stretch those.
You
got to
stretch
absolutely.
The hip flexors and the IT bands.
Hip flexors and IT. IT band, tough nut to crack there.
Have you ever had your psoas?
There's only a handful of stretches. Go get after that one.
You ever had your psoas muscle massaged,
man, I've had it. I've had it taken care of. I've had it manipulated.
Yes.
He's this guy. He goes.
How about you?
Yes.
Psoas right here on the inner girdle.
I know.
Right.
On
the inner,
right.
Right.
The
inner girdle right here. Okay?
Yeah.
By your iliac crest.
I know.
Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, I got both hands diving deep.
I'm
my psoas right now.
Yurko's been, and you see a lot of athletes do
you
it.
You hurt
obviously.
Yourself hanging in the basket. That's the way you do that,
well,
right?
Well, you know, the good kids live
the way
in
you
life.
Do it? Yeah.
I'm going to I'm gonna take Yurko's advice, and the next time I go for a massage, I'm going to get the cupping done. I don't know if you guys have done that.
Yeah.
I'm getting cupping
where
done.
It looks like, yes, and you get like the welt marks all over you. Yeah.
You see circles. A lot of athletes with it.
You get the Michael Phelps circles on your back.
Yeah.
You remember from the Olympics.
Was he the first? He was probably the first one I think I ever saw with those
that
issues.
That was like 12 years ago, too. Now you see it on a lot of athletes because they're doing it.
And then all the news channels were doing it. You know, they'd go to see somebody and the cupping was happening.
Yep.
Only here's some cupping in. She's put a.
What does the cupping do?
The cup.
My massage.
Dermal levels.
One of the women,
separates the dermal
one
levels.
One of the women I go to do the massage was saying that, yeah, like it's got something to do with how it is. It's. What did she say?
It's allowing the
it's
blood.
It's like pulling the skin up and the blood flow is, like, is moving across a bigger area. Where
like
it is relieving a lot of like the tension and the what are all those
would
like,
cupping
the chemicals
be,
that build up like in your skin
ooh,
and your
you bet.
Would cupping be valuable everywhere on your body or is it just in large muscles?
Well, it'd be very valuable in a certain
it'd be
spot.
Painful somewhere, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
Okay. AJ Pollock had it done recently.
Yeah. Is that why he's hitting dongs everywhere?
Is that why?
You can't cup your eyeballs, okay? That's
no.
impossible.
No.
All right? So you wouldn't want to go do that, okay?
Thanks
but
for the advice.
And the big muscles, the big muscles of the back, the latissimus dorsi.
Yes.
The trapezius muscle, the rhomboids back there, the infraspinatus,
the posterior,
all the
delts.
Big ones, kid. Yes. Yeah, paraspinal muscles,
your supraspinatus.
Sure,
Barry.
All of those.
Barry from the South Side was absolutely right. He called. I think it was yesterday when I was in my car. He called the show, Carmen and Yurko, and he's like, "Yurko, I got to tell you, you're the smartest guy when it comes to this medical stuff."
Oh yeah,
he goes,
"This medical stuff."
When I advise people, all I tell them to go see your doctor.
No, or call me.
Go see your orthopod.
People call him and they ask for Yurko. What should I do? I'm like, I'm going to call a doctor.
Yeah.
Yurko says that.
At the end of the day, I say go contact your physician.
But he always knows. It's amazing how much he knows.
Except the Lance Lynn injury. That was a difference.
That was
which
bad
one?
Yeah, the Lance Lynn injury.
Did he misdiagnose that one?
No, it was a long time, though, wasn't it?
No, he's pitched great the last 6 weeks.
But he's been
out for the season. Did Johnny have him out for the year?
He said he wouldn't pitch this year.
He
came back in June.
I gave Merck an opportunity one last time to buy out from our bet.
Which one?
Merck has, he and I have a bet. He says the Sox are winning the division by 5.
He had them go, all this, did you hear?
I heard he was going, they're going to
they're
the
going
ALCS.
They're going to the ALCS. I'm like, what?
I love his optimism, but like, they're one game over 500 still, right?
Oh, yes. ALCS.
They are hitting dongs, though. That's probably as encouraging of a sign as there is. They finally got a dong surge.
It doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt. Home runs.
Well,
do
right. It's the ultimate deodorant for a team that doesn't play great defensive baseball and runs the bases poorly.
I'll tell you, defensively, are they something or what? I mean, wow. Right?
As fragile as eggshells, too.
Well, that doesn't help either. But geez, oh my, the defense sometimes. You're like, what in the world?
We always hear, you know, how great a defensive third baseman Moncada is.
Him and Harrison, all I've heard is how great they are. No, they make one error after another.
Moncada has played, I will say, he's above average in the metrics.
He waved at the ball.
But he's lazy sometimes.
Yeah.
So that's the problem.
He'll make the spectacular, but then boot the obvious.
I was talking to Connor yesterday. I was mad that Gavin Sheets got that error 2 days ago. They didn't even take it away from him.
Crazy.
Like, Mankata, what like, it's the ball is from 300 feet away.
That's a crazy error, isn't
yes,
it,
and all he had to do was get in front of the ball.
Wasn't that, though, ruled an earned run?
It is an earned run.
Because the next guy up actually got a base hit? That doesn't make any sense, because the next guy up would be...
No, it's not an out because he didn't get the base on the error. That he was safe. He didn't get the base on the air.
Right.
Well, he got home on the air.
He got home on the air.
He got home on the air when there weren't two outs.
There was so one out.
There was one out, so the next guy got a hit. He was going to be on third regardless.
No,
it was a base hit. It was a base hit by Winker, right?
Merck was also all over this, and I think I know the rule, it's because he got the base regardless of the error.
Right.
But he went home on the hit because there weren't two outs. If that would have been the third out, it would have been different, I think.
Right, but but he does get home because of the error.
No, he doesn't. He got home because of the base hit.
No. He scored. They gave him the base because the ball went and it hit the camera.
No, he got the base, but no, I don't think so, Tom.
Yes, you're right.
The ball hit the camera.
They showed you the angle from the camera.
But he was already on the base. He didn't get the base on the air.
He got the home on there.
He didn't go from second to third.
This is the spider thing.
But here's my point is he scores before Winker ever gets to the plate. Winker gets a base hit, and that's why they say it's an earned run instead of an unearned run. And my point to you would be, if in fact Mankata plays his position correct and the runner's stuck at third, right? Okay?
Right.
If that's the case, doesn't the pitcher pitch to the next guy differently, potentially?
Well,
because you've got a runner on third.
Yes.
As opposed to a bases empty... Pitching to a guy with a base is empty. That's all I'm saying.
How does that factor in if they give a guy an earned run or not, though? The way he pitches.
Well, I thought it was an unearned run. I mean, it's an unearned run because of the error that occurred.
But that's what I'm saying. Why wasn't it then? Wasn't it because he was already... He was going to be safe at third regardless, wasn't he?
But he goes home because of the error on Mankata that was given to Gavin Sheets. That's how he scored.
Who used to be the official scorer at White Sox?
Oh, yeah. Was he given the run? Was he given home on
that? That's what we've been telling you.
Yes.
It hit the camera. The ball went out of play.
Yeah, maybe you are
because
right.
Because of the error, so he was allowed to score.
I don't know then.
I don't know.
Carmen, you're drinking all that
my
bourbon.
Point,
why would it be an earned run then?
Like that's my point, Carmen. And the thing is it was described, I think, by Benetti is because the next guy up, Winker, got a base hit.
Boy, but can you assume?
That's my point. It's like baseball scorekeeping is weird because the pitcher with a runner on third,
crazy.
I think, approaches the batter differently.
Carmen, are you drunk? What's going on over there?
I forgot the situation.
I'm writing it out for him.
He was awarded home, but I'm trying to think like how that could be then.
Yeah. E9. I thought it was really weird, and when Benetti described it, I was like, that doesn't sound right.
Can I bring up something else, too? Jason,
do whatever you want.
Jason was in fine form yesterday, really pointing out.
Who's he work for?
NBC Sports Chicago, and also now Fox.
He is Fox number two
for college football. Well-deserved. He was really going to town on the... Look at this win. Look at this comeback.
Look at the energy in the top step.
Would this have happened 2 weeks ago? He was telling you a lot yesterday, I think.
Well, he doesn't like Tony, so.
The ghost of Tony La Russa is going to haunt him.
Well, Jesse was giving us the same explanation about Jose Abreu saving the season 3 weeks ago. When he ran hard, he tagged up. I don't know. You're a three-game losing streak away from hating your team again. I mean, you just are. I get it. I can build you a bridge to the postseason. You're hitting dongs.
They did everything. You know? They did everything to come back, but then they did everything to blow us. That bullpen yesterday, which was supposed to be their strength, and all the veterans, Diekman, right after they score four, let's walk a bunch of guys.
Yeah.
Joe Kelly, here I am to walk a bunch of guys.
He got him out of
there. Aaron Bummer coming back for his first action in June. Oh, don't mind this, Aaron. Just it's high leverage eighth inning time.
Here's the ball.
Go.
I think part of that, though, is because he was running. There weren't a lot of options.
Yeah, they were running.
Kopech having to leave in the fourth inning was what I think set that up. Because you're right. In a perfect world, there's no way he wants Aaron Bummer to come in that situation because he hasn't pitched in months. But
so
I think he was just
credit.
Out of options.
I give them credit for all that happened, falling behind 4-0.
Against that pitcher.
For giving up the 6-4 lead with those veteran bullpen arms failing you. You still battled in a really tough place to play.
Yes.
And that was a huge win yesterday afternoon.
I'm not taking credit away from them. I'm just enunciating my continued pessimism based on a year and a half worth of play.
They should pound Oakland.
I told
Yurko, there's a month left in the season. Oakland's been eliminated, you guys.
They're
Oakland,
a minor league team.
Oakland and Washington have been eliminated. There's like 25 games
there's
left.
There's a section. And S-E-X.
Terrible.
I-O-N. There's a section in that ballpark for people that want to go do the nasty because it's the only thing to watch in that building.
They should do it like they do it on Discovery Channel.
They should absolutely pound the Oakland A's. We'll see, though. I don't know. It's been a house of horrors.
Pound town. That's
a house of what? What did you say? It's a house of what?
Horror.
Well, listen, all I do is talk about the section, and next thing you do, you take it to an even lower level.
Oh, my heavens. Stop it. What's the matter with you? How dare you?
Especially pound town.
Heavens. We have Section 68 where you can get a little frisky. We have Section 69 over here where you can do whatever you want.
Guys, how about poor Bernard Shaw passed away today? And he passes away the same day as Queen Mum passes away. Nobody's going to remember former Chicagoan Bernard Shaw at all now.
He had a storied career in the news business.
Commemorate Bernard Shaw and his wonderful career.
Yeah, we should.
As a journalist.
How old was Bernard?
80.
Was he? 82.
Yeah.
82.
Yeah.
82. He died of pneumonia, not related to COVID.
That sucks. Yeah. And the Queen is gone at 96.
96. Good run, man.
Danny, I have a question in the pre-show, guys.
Tremendous.
Who, not to get political, because as you know, in England, it's a figurehead.
Right, yes.
Who is our, in the United States, who is the queen or king of the U.S.?
Beyonce and Jay-Z.
She's your queen to be. Let's see.
Danny tried to sell us Kim Kardashian.
Oh, boy.
Might be close.
She's going to become a barrister.
You know what it is? It's quite the statement about where we are as a country. That's
Kim
where we're going.
Kardashian would be the queen.
Right, Carm?
Don't you have to think of someone like from a family with a lot of money?
Yeah, like the Kennedys.
Like Gloria Vanderbilt.
Gloria Vanderbilt.
Well, I don't know. She's part of the Vanderbilt family.
Yeah. Need some jeans.
It was not about jeans. It was about the Vanderbilt family there, Captain.
What about
I'm saying you got to find someone from a rich family.
Back before she sullied her reputation, Paris Hilton was from a rich family.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Or who had one of the Kennedys?
The Hilton family.
Are the Kardashians not a rich family?
Yeah, but not rich like the Vanderbilts. I mean,
like the Hiltons.
That's why I said the last family that kind of was in that category was the Kennedys.
Kennedys, probably.
Not like the Gates offspring or the Bezos offspring. I mean, that's money.
You need billions. Yeah, we're talking about billions. No, the Kardashians are not
talking
billions.
About old money.
Do the Kardashians have billions? They don't have billions.
Oh, the Kardashians,
Combined, they might get
one. Oh, yeah, like the youngest one is. No, the youngest one is.
She's a billionaire?
Kylie? Yes, Jenner. One of the Jenners is a billionaire.
Yes, you are correct. Yes.
Wow. Yeah, but she's a Jenner. She's
are those the fruits of Bruce's loins?
Yeah,
loin.
But
that's Bruce's loins.
How do we handle that situation?
What does that
now?
Mean? That's the fruits of Bruce's loins.
I'm asking.
That's Kylie. She's not a Kardashian. She's a Jenner.
Yeah, I don't want to take a misstep in this situation.
I'm kind of sensitive. Carm, wouldn't you say they're all in the same realm, though? Because
I guess.
I mean, they're all.
How about Oprah?
Oprah's a good call.
But she's retired. All she does is read books now.
Well,
it's not like what was the queen doing?
Queen Mom?
I don't know.
Yeah. What was she doing in 96?
Gambling?
She's
gambling.
What do you mean? She was spry. Come on.
What do you mean gambling?
She was betting on Chelsea this weekend. I mean, what are you talking about?
She lost.
Yeah.
She was a loser. They lost Champions League.
Can you believe that?
I can.
1-0.
And Liverpool lost. Liverpool got smoked.
Got crushed
by
yesterday.
The head coach is yelling at him.
Oh, the Italian League.
Yeah.
Oh.
By the way, you guys missed it today because you were out and about. I know you saw Keith Williams, our fine market manager. He may still be there now.
No, he left.
Oh, he left. When we saw him in the hall and I told him that we just did Crosstalk Unhinged, he said, I hope it was better than a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, he was very critical.
He said that the first boring episode of Crosstalk Unhinged happened 2 weeks ago. You know, we didn't have one last week because of the holiday. And I told him this week's will not disappoint and there's big controversy involved.
This one was
major
good.
Major controversies.
Yes, this one I thought was excellent.
That's a problem.
So download
sure you get
that.
To the ESPN Chicago app.
One of our guys was violating Local Rule 3.
What is coming up?
I didn't even know what you. Local.
I don't know what local
you. Rule 3. What is that?
DBAA.
The only guy who violated any rules was
doing
you.
Doing business as?
You guys don't know how to communicate. That's the problem with my squad right now.
I don't think that's the case.
There's a lack of communication here.
You know what rule Yurko was doing? The DBAG.
Yeah. Don't be a guy.
What is coming
what
was up?
It, what is it? Come on. You're doing business as?
D-bag.
Okay. Oh, there you go. Well done. Well done. That was,
Tyler,
you know what? That was good. That was really good.
That was good.
I was thinking, you know, doing business as a what?
That was good. What is coming up on the show today, Chris?
Kurt Warner next. So did you see the breakdown from a week ago on Justin Fields?
It was excellent.
Even on some good plays, he said, look, he's got to be better in this situation. And he explained why. So he will break down what he likes and doesn't like from Justin Fields right now. And we'll make some predictions.
Maybe
with
Kurt he can give us also a scouting report on the opposing team's quarterback that will be coming to town on Sunday.
Who does he like more? Does he like Trey Lance or Justin Fields more?
Sounds good to me.
Kurt Warner, the Hall of Famer,
does he like Trey Lance or Justin Fields more? That's a great question. All right, guys.
Shotgun another beer or two, guys.
No, well,
you should match
we're
going
to stick around for one because I got to head up to Edison Park.
Yeah, Yurko's got to crawl tonight with White Claw.
Got to crawl tonight before I can walk.
Your first chance to win tickets to go see our beloved play in Dallas. We're going to be down there October 30th. You can join us. Go see Yurko at. Let's see, you're going to be at Emerald Isle.
Diamond Gyms.
Firewater, and then, not Diamond Gym.
They're having a good time up there. Diamond Gym.
Is there a Diamond Gym?
No, I don't know. He goes, I'm going to be at Diamond Gym.
We're going to be riding the bull. We're going to be riding the bull up at
shirtless.
Park.
I don't think that's right.
You know what? If you're at Diamond Gyms riding the bull shirtless, I'll stop by.
He's going to be at Emerald Isle. He's going to be at Firewater and Edison Park Inn. Three places
three
we love in Edison
Diamond
Park.
Gyms.
So with White Claw. So go see Yurko. You're going to trip to Dallas with us.
That's right.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Got to ride the bull. If you ride the bull and you laugh,
what time are you supposed to be there tonight,
John? 5 to 7.
5 to 7.
Yeah,
boys.
Good luck, people, having him there on time.
What does that mean?
Oh, very good.
I'm leaving from downtown. Yeah. What are you talking about?
Go to break.
Oh, Tommy, just show up to work, all right?
Yeah, look who's talking over here. All right, we'll see you tomorrow after the week.
Whoa, wait a second.
What? No, I'm giving him crap. Don't worry about
That's right, Tom.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Waddle and Sylvia are next. Have a good day.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie. Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Got some interesting 49ers news from Aaron Wilson, covers the NFL. Says that George Kittle's groin injury is not good. And a lot of people think he should be ruled out for this game. We'll continue to follow that story. That would be a bonus for the Bears. As happy football to everybody. We've got football tonight as the Rams, the Super Bowl champions, host the Buffalo Bills. Cannot wait for that. And our next guest is a former Ram. Of course, he is a Hall of Famer. Also played for the Giants and Cardinals and does great work for the NFL Network. If you have not downloaded his Quarterback Confidential, it's a must watch. We played you some of it last week on his breakdown on Justin Fields. For my money, Kurt Warner breaks it down as well as anybody out there. Former player, analyst, he checks all the boxes and he joins Waddle and Sylvie right now on ESPN 1000. Happy football, Kurt. How are you feeling?
I am good. How are you guys? Been a while since we talked, but man, it's time. It's go time, and what a great game we got to start the season.
Cannot wait. I'll cut right to the chase because I loved the breakdown on Fields. but I am a starving, thirsty Bears fan who has never had one of you in my life and never had a Hall of Fame quarterback. Do the Bears finally have something cooking with Justin Fields?
Well, I mean, I'm not, you know, I think it's so hard to assess these guys. And I think it's tough when a guy hasn't shown us who they are to start setting expectations on these guys. I don't think it's fair to these guys. They already have all these expectations because of the world that we live in and where they're drafted and all of that stuff. I think what we're hoping for is to see progress from year one to year two. That's what you see from the best quarterbacks in the league. You know, in my backyard, Kyler Murray. That's what I love. He's not a finished product yet. I don't know what he's going to end up being, but he gets better every year. Josh Allen, another guy that we saw some struggles early on, and he's improved every single year. And so that's what I want to see from Justin Fields, is that he probably got put in last year a little sooner than he should have been, and he took some lumps, and he struggled at times. The hope is new system, new coordinator, another year under his belt, that he gets more comfortable. He's got all the talent. I mean, you guys have seen it. Everybody in Chicago has seen it. I mean, he's got the ability to run around and use his legs and buy time. He's got the ability to make all the big throws. No question about that. To me, it's going to be about his ability to process and how quickly will he process information. And then ultimately, at the end of the day, how well will he process information as he continues to grow as a player. But, you know, the hope is make progress, grow in certain areas, get the ball out of your hands. I felt the number of sacks last year were created as much by Justin Fields holding the ball and not really sure where he wanted to go with it as it was a porous offensive line. And so, as you guys know, I'm not sure how good the offensive line is going to be this year, so it's going to be very important for Justin to see things, know what he wants to do on a play, get back and rip the football.
Kurt, I know it's a very small sample size, but you did the brilliant breakdown of his game against Cleveland. When you look at that tape, and again, I get it. It was no Jadeveon Clowney. There's no Myles Garrett, none of that stuff. But when you look at that tape and you compare it to some of the stuff you saw last year, do you see a difference in Fields, whether it's fundamentals or it's processing, or is it too early?
Well, I think it's always too early when you're looking at preseason and, you know, A, your offense is very simplified. You know, you're running, you know, first day install stuff. Defenses you see are more simplified. So from that standpoint, again, I don't want to read too much into it. But here's what I liked, and here's what I pointed out in the breakdown, is when I felt Justin knew what he wanted to do on a play, whether that was they cut the field in half or they ran mirrored routes or, you know, he knew exactly what the coverage was. And so where his read was going to be or where his first guy was going to be, and he went back and that guy was open, he ripped the football. I mean, there was no hesitation. He made big-time chunk throw after chunk throw. And I think that's what we know Justin Fields can do. That was the fun part of watching that was, man, we're seeing a guy that's definitive in what he's doing, and he's showing you all the reasons why they drafted him where they drafted him. Now, the next step becomes, okay, now teams are going to game plan for you. They're going to throw stuff at you. You're going to game plan every week. Can you go into every game with that same comfort level of what you need to be looking at, where you need to go with your eyes early, and then be decisive when you get back there of knowing what you're seeing and then ripping the football? That was the exciting thing about Cleveland. It was the best that I've seen him play from that standpoint consistently, right? We've seen those throws at different times, but he consistently did it throughout that game. That's what excites me. And my hope is that, and again, you guys know as well as I do, or you know, as well as I do, that you can't go into a game and just cut the field in half every single play and go, oh, we're just going to simplify it for a young quarterback. The game's not that easy, but you pick your moments and you have your times to do that, and hopefully the Bears will be in positions to be able to live in that world so Justin can have more success this year, and then he grows into the other stuff when he has to be a true drop-back passer.
Kurt, there was a lot of criticism of the Bears back during the draft time of the season and the free agency period as well, that the Bears didn't do enough to surround Justin with talent, whether it was on the edge or the offensive line. How much progress and improvement can a quarterback like Justin make, even if he doesn't have a full complement of all pro guys inside his huddle?
Yeah, you could make progress. You know, so here's the bottom line, that the way I look at a lot of that stuff is that if you're playing against zone coverages, which is primarily what you're going to face at the NFL level with man, you know, obviously sprinkled in or certain teams that play more man. But when you play against zone coverages, I don't need a guy that, you know, that runs a 4-3. I don't need a guy that's got, you know, tremendous physical ability. I need him to be where he needs to be when he needs to be there. And then if I'm reading it right, I can throw it to him. Now, yeah, I need him to catch it at the end of that. But that to me is where you can still grow, is that, you know, you're going to face that sort of stuff. And you can grow in your decision-making and where you're going with the football and where you're placing the football. Where it gets harder is if you do play against teams that are going to play more man against you and you don't feel comfortable that your guys are going to win consistently, now you've got to figure out how you play football. Do you throw it to them anyways? Do you get uncomfortable? Do you lack trust? Do you try to do too much with your legs? So that's the bigger issue, is that you're going to see a lot of zone coverage. Do you know what you're seeing? Can you read it out? Can you make the right decision? Whether the guy on the other end makes the play or not, whether he's the most talented guy on the other end or not, you can still make progress in those areas, and that's what I'm looking for.
Kurt Warner joining us, the Hall of Famer. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. I was very interested, too, Kurt, in your breakdown on, there was one play where he escaped the pocket early, and it was not the right move the way you broke it down. But in the end of the play, he still picked up positive yardage. So you pointed out he still made a good play with his feet. You complimented him when initially he didn't make the right one. And then in the pass in the corner of the end zone to Ryan Griffin, when a lot of people were lusting over that throw, you had questions about that, even though it was the biggest highlight. Where is the fine line for a coach or someone breaking down the film on when to critique on successful plays versus complimenting on unsuccessful plays?
Well, I mean, I think the bottom line is, as you have younger athletic quarterbacks that are still learning the game, the beautiful thing is you don't expect them to make the right read every time. I'm hoping, right? And I'm going to push them in that direction, because the game's easier when you make the layups, when you know what you're looking at and you get the ball out of your hands. The beautiful thing, and again, I'll reference Arizona and Kyler Murray. I've seen this with Kyler Murray, is that at times he struggled to see the field and know where he's supposed to go with the football. But he's really successful because he can make plays out of nothing, or when he doesn't see it, he can still make positive plays. We've seen Justin Fields do that a lot. And so as they're learning, the beautiful thing is that you're not sitting back there taking sacks. You know, okay, you miss a completion, but you're picking up 4 or 5 yards for us and keeping things moving in the right direction. We can still praise that, even though we're going to critique the decision-making and stuff, because you just can't live in that world. I don't care how good you are. You can't live in that world and expect to be successful. All right, with the other play, and again, I didn't hear the media, you know, every day back there in Chicago. So when I was talking that and breaking it down and talking about the why, I got a lot of comments. So I don't know if Matt Nagy used to talk about the why a lot, but I got a lot of comments. Yes. about that. But to me, that's how you have to play the game, is that even at the high school level, you know, when I coached quarterbacks and, you know, they would come back to the sideline, even if they threw an interception, my first question to them was, okay, what did you see and why did you make that throw? And I could work with a guy that could tell me why he did something. You know, what I saw, oh, I thought this was, but I can't work with a guy that goes, I don't know. Like, if you know, like, I don't know, I just saw the guy and I threw it to him. You can't work with that, because that's not going to be successful most of the time. So I want to know the why. I want to know what you saw. So that throw that he made to Ryan Griffin was an unbelievable throw. I mean, you know, it had a lot of juice on it. It was a big-time throw at the second level. It turned out to be a touchdown. All those things are great. But when I look at plays, I'm looking at, okay, A, I want to see the eyes of the quarterback. That's what tells me. I'm always watching the head of a quarterback to know, does he know what he's looking at? Does he know what he's reading and where his issues are on a particular play? So on that particular play, the left side where he threw the touchdown pass was really a man-type concept, not really a zone concept. And they were playing, and Cleveland was playing zone, so the corner really shouldn't have been open. Now, there was spacing on the field. There's a lot of things that added to that. But there's a corner sitting over there that if he plays it right, it's can picked. Be sitting right there to intercept the ball or to make a big hit on Justin Griffin, and we kind of lead a guy into a big hit. And so what I wanted to see on that play is, did Justin Fields, when he went from the right side, which is where he started his read, did he come back and verify that corner? Knowing what coverage he got, you need to see that corner and know what you're getting before you can rip that football. And I didn't see him do that. I saw him more scan the field, more pure progression, more, hey, I turned around, I see Ryan Griffin, you know, what I think is open, I'm just going to rip it. And again, I get there's a lot of teams in the league that run what we call pure progression. Look at your guy, see if he's open, throw it to him if he's open. I don't believe in that philosophy because I don't know how to teach somebody whether a guy's open or not. Like, I don't know how to say, well, I think he's open. He's open. You right. throw it. So I'm a guy that I want to see the defense. The defense will always tell me what I'm capable of doing. And so that's what I was looking for on that play. And I never felt like he got back and truly verified what was front side, knowing that he's got a solo corner going out there against a cornerback that's an off-position playing zone. You really got to know what that guy's doing before you can just consistently turn and just and rip that football.
Yeah, that's great breakdown. Kurt, let's go to the guy that will be here at Soldier Field squaring off with Justin Fields. When you see Trey Lance, what do you think? And put yourself in the 49ers position back 2 years ago on draft day. You've got the ability to pick either Lance or Fields. Who does Kurt Warner take in that moment?
Well, first of all, I think they're very similar players right now. They're both, you know, very talented physically. They both have big arms. When they know what they want to do with the football, they can rip and make any throw. I think they've got some technique deficiencies that they have to work on to keep building consistency in terms of making the throws they're supposed to make. And then I think both of them are still working towards the processing part of it, that sometimes they're slow to process and know exactly what they're seeing and get the ball out. So I think these two guys are very similar players right now at their career based on what I've seen, in the limited time that they've played. If we go back a couple years, I'm taking Justin Fields. The body of work, first and foremost, what Justin did at the college level, I thought he played in a system that, that was more pro-ready than what Trey Lance played at. And then I thought Justin was more consistent than Trey. Trey kind of has a big windup and kind of a, drops the ball and swings the ball a lot. And there was a lot of, accuracy issues in college. And that's one of those things that oftentimes if you have accuracy issues in college, it's really tough to change that dramatically when you get to the NFL level. So that was something that concerned me. So if I was picking between these two guys based on what I saw in college, I'm taking Justin Fields all day because I think there was more boxes that he checked at the college level than Trey Lance.
I found this tweet funny from you, Kurt, a couple days ago. You said one of the funniest things every year is how upset people get at preseason Super Bowl picks. No one has any clue. Even if you get it right, it's not because you're a genius. You're just riding the hype or are lucky. And on the other side of that, Bears fans have been pissed all year because we keep hearing that, the worst team in the league or NFL.com has them picked last in the poll. So tell people none of these predictions matter.
Nothing. All that matters is what you do for 3 hours on a Sunday afternoon. And the beautiful thing is we saw a team in the Super Bowl last year that won 4 games the year before. So this thing can change so quickly. And, it's about putting it together. It's about building chemistry. And it's about showing up in the moment. That, to me, is what it's about. You know, you guys watch the NFL. It's amazing how many close games you have every year. And usually the difference between those teams that are winning 12 and 13 games and those teams that are winning 6 and 7 games is what they do in those moments of the close games. Do they make the kick? Do they make the play? Do they not make the mistake that costs them a game? So, there is a lot to be determined. I understand why the national media is saying what they're saying about Chicago. You guys just talked about it. Did they do enough to surround Justin? Do they have enough playmakers? Because ultimately this game comes down to, Do you have the playmakers that can stand up in a moment and make the play for you? Do they have enough playmakers to get there? But that's the beautiful thing is, yeah, we throw out these predictions and people get mad and this guy's going to be the MVP. Man, I have no idea. At any moment, some team could surprise me and come out and play great football. Some quarterback, you know, could kind of hit their stride and make that big jump. And all of a sudden, their team's in the running. And so that's what I love about it is that we do all the pregame stuff and I love it and I have fun doing it. But, man, I want to be at the game, watching the game, calling the game and seeing what happens in that moment, because that's what this game is all about.
Yeah, before we let you go, Kurt, we got a great one tonight. What are you expecting to see from this Bills and Rams matchup?
I mean, I think like everybody, I'm expecting to see a shootout. Now, I know it's the first game of the year, and a lot of times teams will come out a little bit slow, but, I mean, you just have to believe. You got two great quarterbacks that can go swing for swing, that were great in the big moment last year. You've got playmakers all over, Cooper Kupp and Stephon Diggs. I mean, you know, Allen Robinson, as you guys know really well, adding him to the mix. You got some great players on defense. You got Aaron Donald that can wreck a game. You got Von Miller that can wreck a game. So, you know, I expect it to be a good football game, and I expect the stars to show up and make plays. And, you know, it's going to come down to the end and which team, which guy steps up and makes that play, which superstar does what, you know, we expect them to do is what I expect. So, I mean, these might be the two best rosters in football, you know, coming into the season. So I just think it's set up for a perfect start to the season. And I just hope we get an unbelievable football game.
Kurt, keep doing your thing. Oh, you're one of our favorite analysts, and we always appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thanks, Kurt.
You got it. We'll talk soon.
You got it. There's Kurt Warner, the Hall of Famer.
I think he has tonight's game on Westwood One, doesn't
yeah,
he? I
and
believe so.
Check out Quarterback Confidential. He is awesome. If you haven't seen the video of him breaking down fields, I tweeted it out before the show, so It's available for you to watch. Coming up at 3, we're going to have a draft on which teams will win the most games in the NFL. It's a good way to preview the league. We'll talk about that. And then encouraging news possibly for the Bears going into this 49ers matchup. We'll reshare that with you coming up next.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. It's time to find the great on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app. Find the great, presented by Great Clips.
Love our friends and partners at Great Clips.
It's going to be great.
It is going to be great. Check them out today. Get yourself looking good here for the football season. And is there anywhere else to go other than the NFL season is here tonight, and we have found the great?
Well, it is a great matchup. It's the defending Super Bowl champs facing off against a team that I believe the majority of people, when you make your picks, I think that the Bills have been probably the most popular pick for most prognosticators with regard to the 2023 Super Bowl champ.
A lot of people love Josh Allen more than any other quarterback these days in the league, with lots of great ones. I just think it's the best time of year. That's my great, that it's simply the greatest time of year.
It's just so much better than the opening day for Major League Baseball. But I'm a football fan before I'm a baseball fan.
Yeah, but again, like it's the pomp and circumstance of the opening day. But
I'm usually freezing my nuts off.
Right, you're freezing your nuts off. And after the introductions, it's one of 162.
Right.
This is one of 17 is a big deal.
Yeah.
And all of America watches it. Like, well,
I'm not freezing my nuts off either right now.
I did a poll question, by the way, too. You will in December, though. The first of what's a better sports weekend? The first four-day weekend of the NFL or the first four-day weekend of the NCAA tournament? You know, in the NCAA, you get Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, nonstop games.
Love it. Not as much as I love the NFL.
NFL, you get one on Thursday, you get a ton on Sunday, and then you get them all on Monday. And then the last two.
Not even close for me.
Me neither.
Not even close.
Now, it's certainly more of a holiday, the NCAA, but I like for my... the bang for my buck, give me football.
You know what else is happening in March when that tournament kicks off? Freezing my nuts off.
And Waddle doesn't like to freeze his nuts off. It's close. 53% to the NCAA tournament.
Whoa,
is leading the
really?
Way. 47% for the NFL.
Get out.
Because it's very stereotypical that those are the best 4 days in sports.
They are not.
We could discuss that more. I got to tell you about Greg Kittle. His
George.
George Kittle. Greg, who's Greg Kittle?
Don't know.
George Kittle is,
I know Ron Kittle.
Is
I don't
unlikely
know Kittle.
To play. I know Kitty too. George Kittle is unlikely to play on Sunday. And then there's also Tony La Russa's story we've got to get to. It's all coming up next.